The election of President Donald Trump has prompted question after question about the president's powers and the potential checks on those powers. You're listening to KNKX. I'm Simone Alisea, and I sat down with University of Washington law professors Catherine Watts and Lisa Manheim to talk about this. They've recently published a book called The Limits of Presidential Power, A Citizen's Guide to the Law. First, I asked Catherine why those of us who aren't lawyers should care about what the law has to say about this.
The law actually drives so much of what happens in our country and so much of what a politician can do. So in our mind, it's critical that people across the country understand something about the legal framework that politics must operate through, because without knowing something about the law, you don't know who in our government to hold responsible for particular actions.
And if you take an issue like immigration, when President Obama was in office, he really wanted to change the law and change the way immigration policy worked in the United States. And he had an extraordinarily hard time pursuing that agenda, largely because of legal constraints. He was not able to convince Congress to change things by statute. And then when he tried to take action on his own, part of what he did got blocked by the courts, so it couldn't go through. And then another major step that he took was the implementation of the DACA program. And as we see now that we have a new president in office who is resistant more generally to the types of immigration policies that President Obama favored, we have a new president who's trying to then move things around, which is just a long way of saying that if you take something like immigration policy, which really affects people in real life on the ground, a lot of what's going on can be explained by legal constraints.
Catherine, your point about the sort of necessity of having some understanding of legal framework, I think, is really interesting. I think there's a line in the introduction of the book that says something to the effect of democracy requires some level of understanding. But I think for me, that brought up the question of, should a form of government require that much work on the part of its citizens?
It's a great question as to whether a democratic form of government should. I think my answer would be that the democratic government we have does require it. A democracy like ours is kept alive. It's sustained by people, people who are participating in government, who are voting, and who are voicing their views in an informed and educated way. Because it is our government, right? It's a government for the people. It's not a government that is run by a dictator. It's not a government run by one all-powerful person. It's a government for the people, by the people. And that does require people's engagement and knowledge and participation.
There are a lot of people, particularly those who are opposed to our current president, who wish there were some kind of silver bullet, either a legal one or something that they can do. But your book clearly demonstrates that that doesn't exist.
The same powers that President Trump has right now are the powers that President Obama had when he was in office, and are the powers that the future presidents are going to have. And the flip is also true. So the same legal constraints that are frustrating President Trump right now are those that were frustrating President Obama, and again, future presidents. If it were the case that there was some sort of silver bullet that people objecting to this president could use to get him out of office, that silver bullet would exist for those who objected to prior presidents and future presidents. And, you know, that would be a pretty unstable way of running a government if one could do things like that.
Do you think folks will generally find this book encouraging or possibly discouraging?
In a sense, I think it's responsive to a sense of confusion that people are having, and being able to explain that the reason why, for example, President Trump is able to do some things by executive order, but not other things by executive order, it's not random. It's not because he's deciding to do it one way or the other. It's not because it's not based on whim or sort of a randomness, but rather it's largely because, again, the law is dictating what can and cannot happen. And so to the extent that people are feeling like things are out of control, they tend to feel reassured by a sense that, you know, the law isn't, as you say, there's no silver bullet. It's not like you can take the law and get whatever result you want, but the law at least helps to explain what is currently going on.
I would add to that that one of the main messages I hope people draw from this book is that a president's powers are vast, But our governmental system imposes a lot of checks on his powers, checks that are out there that can be used to limit his powers if people rise up and use that power. So if Congress wants to, it can take a huge amount of power away from the president. If the media wants to continue to work to serve as a check on the president, it can exert a huge influence on what a president can or can't get done, relying on its First Amendment rights. There's so many different checks built in the system, so we hope this book is encouraging or reassuring to people to the extent that they see that there are so many checks that can be used. Having said that, the flip side is if those that have power to exert checks, whether it's voters or Congress or the media, if they don't use those checks, if we sort of fall asleep at the wheel, then there is the risk that we have a president that becomes more and more powerful with each presidency that progresses. And that is something to worry about. We open our book with a quote from Justice David Souter, a former Supreme Court justice, who says, you know, what Americans should be worrying about at night, what they should be losing sleep over, is this fear that someday one person will step forward and say, I can solve all of your problems.
And I also would hope that our book is inspiring to those who are supportive of whichever president is in office at a given time, because the flip side of the checks is the understanding that if somebody wants a president to be able to get something done, that person can't just vote for that person and be supportive of that individual person. Rather, that person also has to vote for members of Congress that support the president. The person also has to vote for state and local officials who are willing to work along with the federal government to implement policies. So I guess whether somebody finds the book to be reassuring or concerning may, to some extent, depend on that person's views about not only who's in office now, but who's in office in the future.
All right. Lisa Manheim, Catherine Watts, authors of The Limits of Presidential Power, A Citizen's Guide to the Law. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having us.